This is the Informer podcast. A new study suggests that Australians with anxiety are waiting too long to seek treatment, with the average wait time extending to 8.4 years. Ian Muchamore investigates why and the surprising role that free digital apps can play in support and treatment.
This week, the findings from a public survey were released of Australians' awareness of anxiety conditions, which are the most common mental health issues across the population. I spoke to Dr. Jeannie Yu, who's a GP and medical advisor with NPS MedicineWise, about when anxiety can be a problem and their new awareness campaign.
So anxiety is a normal response to a stressful situation and something that we'll all be familiar with. So it's often described as feeling nervous or worried or on edge, and it's associated with physical symptoms, including a pounding heart or feeling short of breath or dizzy or trembling. Anxiety that's becoming a problem is anxiety that might be out of proportion to the trigger that's causing the anxiety, or it might be anxiety where there's no obvious cause for that anxiety. It's also a situation where rather than it being situational, and then once the situation passes, the anxiety passes as well, it's actually experienced persistently over a long period of time, over many months. And probably the most important characteristic that distinguishes an anxiety disorder is when that the symptoms that are being experienced affect your ability to function effectively. So the symptoms are distressing, but also they start to affect how you can function at home or in the workplace or in your studies, might affect your social relationships as well. And that's when it's starting to move into an anxiety disorder. So in our survey, we asked Australians about what they understood about anxiety. So we asked them, where would you look for information about anxiety? And many Australians knew to either consult their GP or a psychologist or a counsellor. Even more interestingly, though, we also asked our participants, how long do you think it takes, on average, for people with an anxiety disorder to seek help from a medical professional? And here we found that many people underestimated this. So 69% thought it takes people less than 5 years to seek professional help for an anxiety disorder. But the average time it actually takes is much longer. It's 8.2 years. And then lastly, we asked, which treatments do you think are effective for anxiety? And we found that while there's a high level of awareness of psychological treatments that are delivered face-to-face, so 69% thought that they were effective, as well as prescription medicines, 46% thought that they were effective. Only a very small proportion, that's 13% of those we surveyed, thought that online psychological treatment programs can be an effective option for treating anxiety disorders.
Many people might be asking whether our reliance on online and digital technologies, mobile phones, social media interactions, are actually part of the problem, and they're contributing to creating anxiety and making it worse. But an increasing number of online tools and phone apps are designed to provide psychological support and tools for managing problematic anxiety. But do they work?
Psychological treatments can be delivered in a number of different ways. We found in our survey that people are most familiar with face-to-face delivery. So, you know, 69% of people thought that that type of treatment would be useful and effective for anxiety. People were less aware of online psychological treatments. So that's where, through a structured course, you can go through and develop the skills that that you need to better manage your anxiety. So those online treatment programs are now quite well established. And in fact, research suggests that they can be just as effective as face-to-face psychological treatments, particularly if there's some clinician involvement and guidance encouraging you to keep going and to support you through that process. When those treatments are undertaken, we find that approximately 50% of people have a significant improvement. That goes for online psychological treatments as well as face-to-face psychological treatments. That's a similar kind of success rate as we also see with treating anxiety through medicines as well.
So what does this mean for our communities? I spoke to Sally Morris, who's National Mind Out Program Coordinator at the LGBTI Health Alliance. I asked Sally about whether the right apps and digital tools are out there for LGBTI people who are seeking support for anxiety and mental health issues.
Actually, it's certainly particularly, I said, outside of your metropolitan areas, it makes help and services and support much more accessible. Though I guess my understanding is most of these online supports are often very generic. They're not often tailored to our LGBTI communities. And I think there's probably still a bit of a gap in services, really, I guess, in that online space. So I would actually love to see some more of these online treatments being specifically tailored. In one sense, the content, the support, the structure won't change. That will be the same. But in one sense, the packaging, I guess, when you're LGBTI, you need to know that you're safe in accessing that. You need to see yourself reflected back in the content that you're working in. And I think there's still capacity for these online treatments to actually be a bit more tailored to our LGBTI communities. So I guess when you're accessing those online spaces, sometimes you might need to forgive the heteronormativity that they might see in those spaces. There might, it's still the mainstream world and that you're engaging with, and so they might not be completely tailored to fully meet our needs.
Dr. Jeannie Yu from NPS MedicineWise agrees that there is more work that needs to be done to build and promote digital therapies and programs.
I think the digital therapies as a mode for delivering psychological treatments are a more recent development, and even though they have a lot of research to back them, there's still work that needs to be done, both among health professionals as well as among consumers, about the value and the advantages in some cases of those programs. So part of what we're doing with our educational program is to really increase the profile of these programs, and that they to show people that they do actually have a range of different options, and they're all effective options for treating their anxiety disorder.
I also spoke to Dr. Grant Blackshee, who is the lead clinical advisor with Beyond Blue, about his experience.
I think there are a number of reasons that people in the LGBTI community don't always like face-to-face care. They're worried about discrimination, they're worried about stigma, and so online therapies provide a great opportunity that are easily accessible, low or no cost, and have a lot of evidence behind them that they can really help people with anxiety conditions. There's a number of online apps now available that are very helpful for people generally who are experiencing anxiety, and interesting, some of the surveys of LGBTI people are that they're actually quite big fans of online information. And then there are a number of web-based apps as well, Mood Gym, and even some apps which are sort of what we call chatbots, thing like Wobot, where you're almost having a conversation with someone online, but actually it's a little AI Wobot or robot. So there's heaps of resources out there, and their evidence is showing that they're highly effective.
You might be worried that this focus on therapies and treatments for anxiety is avoiding some of the big issues that negatively impact LGBTI communities. Sally Morris from LGBTI Health Alliance encourages us to look at the bigger picture.
For me, actually, it is like a bit like a jigsaw puzzle that you actually can't just look at our mental health in isolation. You have to look at it's a whole big puzzle, and I guess our experience with mental health is just that one bit, and it is related to how do we look after our bodies, how do we connect with community, where are we doing that, and how are we doing that. I don't think you can actually go, well, I'm just going to look after my anxiety, and that not be connected to, well, what are we doing to look after our physical health? What drugs and alcohol am I using? How am I engaging with people? Like, it is, you need to look at your life as a whole package. You can't just take one part of it and go, I'm going to fix this, without actually looking at all the other parts of your life that relate, I guess, and that result in anxiety in your life. Yeah, it actually can't be looked at in isolation. I think when we're talking about anxiety and depression and other mental health issues, it's not just about treating people, treating the outcome. We actually need to go back to, well, why do LGBTI people have poor mental health to begin with? And what can we do there to change that, trajectory? Where are we going? When we talk about a social issue, we're actually, the anxiety we experience is a result of a social issue. So actually the response also needs to be a social response. Medication and medical support can sometimes give that reprieve that allows you to look at the larger picture. But I think as a society and as a community and as the LGBTI sector, even the mental health sector, it is taking that step back and looking at the larger picture and go, well, what's actually going wrong in the first place? Why are we here?
Thank you to Dr. Jeannie Yu from NPS Medicine Wise, Sally Morris from the LGBTI Health Alliance, and Dr. Grant Blackshee from Beyond Blue. If you're concerned and looking for support relating to anxiety or other mental health issues, then there is some great support out there. You can talk to QLife on 1800 184 527, and they also have a web chat service. QLife is able to advise you on where to access LGBTI-friendly services across Australia. Beyond Blue also has a 24-hour telephone support line on 1300 22 4636, and you can also reach out to them via email and their online support forums. We've also posted some details of the places you can find digital apps and online tools on the Informer website.
This has been The Informer. If you're interested in LGBTIQ+ news from around the world, why not listen to Worldwide Wave?